Escaladores combines two words when translating from Spanish to English: climbers and scalers. Climbers, because they climb mountains of difficulties and prejudices and mountain ranges of impossibilities. And scalers, because they manage to scale their initial idea.
La empresa que acaba de reemplazar a Yahoo en el NASDAQ 100
is also Argentinian.
Vale más que la mayor... Se llama Mercado Libre.
MercadoLibre.com, un sitio de internet.
An idea is always important, but much more important is to put it into practice and make it grow, even in contexts that seem adverse.
Mercado Libre, a giant.
Climbers and Scalers is the story of people who think they can. Reaching the summit is not only touching the top, but also enjoying competing in the most challenging league with the best in the world. This is the story of Mercado Libre, told in first person by its protagonists. This is Climbers and Scalers, narrated by their own professional AI cloned voices, with full authorizations.
Mercado Libre, congratulations.
Mercado Pago is transforming the way we charge and pay, and the way we share and invest. And there is still a lot of room for further transformation. Ozzy is convinced that this is the path to a society with more opportunities and equality.
I think it's absurd that we're paying each other with colored paper. I understand some of the reasons why it happens. I understand that in some of our countries, unfortunately, there is a large gray economy. I understand that there are people who prefer to have anonymity, to be anonymous in some payments and so on. But in most cases, in fact, an inconvenience is something that generates inequality because people who cannot make digital payments cannot build credit history, cannot eventually take a credit. It also generates greater insecurity because it is more likely to be stolen. It favors what we were saying, that there is a large informal economy. So for me, it is something that must disappear as soon as possible, the movement of colored paper. In some countries, it has gone very fast. In the Nordic countries, in Sweden, it has gone very fast. One of the things the Swedish government did was to reverse the costs. In some of our countries, we want to have less cash. But in some of our countries, there are taxes that are only charged when the transaction is electronic and not when it is a cash transaction. So I think we have to reverse those taxes, that taxes are for cash withdrawal and not taxes for electronic payments, and put the right incentives in place. One of the things that the central government did in Sweden was moving cash is expensive, and that cost in the past was borne by the government. And the central bank passed that cost of moving cash, of moving the paper money between provinces and so on, to the banks. Then the banks in turn passed or made it more difficult to access cash and favored more the use of electronic payments. And that encouraged people to really go to electronic payments. It has happened to me when I am on vacation. It usually happens to me that the only time I'm alone is when I wake up and everyone is sleeping. So sometimes I go for an early morning run, and when I come back, I buy breakfast and bring it to the rented house or to the hotel where we are staying, so that we all enjoy it. And it's happened to me in Amsterdam, of going for a run with a few euros in my pocket, going to buy them breakfast, and they say, no, only cards, we don't accept cash. And I think that's going to happen. It should happen everywhere, all the time.
Just as Mercado Libre is not just an online retailer, Mercado Pago is not just financial services. They are technology companies. That's why they have this enormous capacity for transformation.
It's amazing how technology has changed people's lives. The typical example that Paul Romer gave, who won the Nobel Prize in Economics for a paper that was called Endogenous Technological Growth, how technology allows economies to grow. And the typical example he gave was the cost of lighting. How many hours a person had to work to have light? Since candles were invented and the cost was pretty stable, almost unchanged for hundreds of years, until electricity was invented, and the light bulb was invented and the cost dropped dramatically. Then to have lighting, a person had to work hours and hours, and now to have light, you only must work for a few minutes. That is just one example, but I really believe that technology has radically altered the world. If you look at the estimated GDP per capita of the world up to pre-industrial revolution, the 2000 years before, there was almost no evolution. Living in the year 400 over 1400 was basically the same. There was almost no growth in the world in those 1,000 years, very, very little. And then we had an industrial revolution, and the last 300 years, 400 years, changed the world more than the previous 3,000. So the impact of technology, I think, is brutal, starting with the Industrial Revolution, and then all along the 20th century with the invention of the car, the airplane, the different types of energy generation, and then with the technology revolution, I would say the second half of the last century until today.
At the beginning, Paula confessed that the unawareness of the dimension of what awaited her allowed her to start with the task of developing Mercado Pago. But once they realized all that such a project required, something else was needed to move forward. Once again, looking back at the garage was the answer.
It was not only convincing us, but it was getting creative on how to make a non-existent digital system into something scalable, secure. The fraud prevention models that we had to start putting together, that started with hard rules in an Excel, that we went to decision trees, and today we are talking about big data and scientists putting together neural networks. So these are crazy iterations that, again, you look back and you say how all this evolution was taking place in these years. It's incredible. We were fueled by the passion to make things happen. I mean, that kind of attitude was what gave us a lot of strength to want to break the rules. I think they energized us. It gave you the feeling of being overwhelmed, of saying, wow, the effort and energy we are putting into all this, when these are things that should flow in a super easy and supernatural way. But well, faced with that path, you had really two options. Either you gave up and said, well, that's it. It's never going to happen. Or you said, we are going to continue whatever we have to do, and we are going to continue bringing innovation, and we are going to show that things can be done differently, that we can reach audiences that today are not part of this picture of financial inclusion in our region, and that with innovation, with creativity, with different mental schemes, things can be done in a different way. We never asked ourselves, it's either them or us. What we always proposed was to see a horizon in which different pieces, each one with his expertise and with what he knew best, working together, we could create something better than what each one separately could not create. I think it was up to us to bring this, to bring the piece of innovation of technology as a platform to massify financial services. And on the other side, there is obviously the expertise and knowledge of this, of acquiring means of payment issuance, which was where we still did not know how to play too well. At some point, companies began to appear who started to understand the synergy, and that 1+1 was 3. But I would say that not at the beginning, not even by chance.
After so much effort, the results started to come. And with them, the celebration of those achievements. But as we already know, in Mercado Libre, the celebrations don't last too long, because soon there are still things to do and a new result to achieve.
Look, I can tell you that there was a very emotional moment for me that I remember as if it were yesterday, and that was the day of the IPO. I was in the office watching on a giant screen, all of us hugging each other. What was happening? Still not understanding whether it was fact or fiction, and that it really marked a new era for us as a company. And for me, that moment, obviously I broke down in absolute tears, but it was a special moment. I think it was a moment when we all somehow stopped and understood that what we had done and for which we had worked so hard had a reason, and there was an endorsement from the company that was no longer coming only from your own country. But that the IPO really opened up access to financing, to continue growing, and to an open market that started to trust our company. Another super relevant fact was, as we call it internally, the landing in Normaptia, which was the launching of QR codes. It was really being able to bring to our region something that in China we saw that it was scaling extremely fast, and that could also be the way to change habits, to make people's lives easier, to allow many more people to have the best excuse to take out their phones every day. And the way in which we approached this QR code network, where again, that the network effect had to be there, because if not, it was not going to go forward or backward from the attracting of businesses, from having launched it in the city of Buenos Aires, but having made it federal throughout Argentina, and not to mention expanding it to other countries in the region. And a little bit, I tell you that personally, walking down the street with my children, and that they are already beginning to understand that a part of these new technologies will permeate their daily lives. But you feel their mini pride of knowing that their mother and a spectacular working team have been part of that revolution for me. That is another of the things that were great.
Today, Paula is much more than the global operations leader of Mercado Pago. She is a guardian of the company's culture, and a driver of diversity in a market often dominated by men.
I think I have found a lot of inspiration and a lot of mentors in the group of people that I have worked with. I am also part of a group of women in technology, women in fintech, where what I learn every day is about new projects that appear in the region. Again, what makes me vibrate this startup spirit is to know a lot about the history of these people, their projects, how they push them, how they form teams, how they make them grow, how they think big, which we look at with great respect, where I can tell you Nubank is one of them, where there are many women referenced based in Brazil, based in Colombia. So I would say that today I'm more about going to this potpourri, learning from everything a little bit, not having a single person like that to look at and learn from. I think that diversity is very good, and a diversity that at least what I like a lot, or the qualities I look for, is that combination between the analytical aspect of people, but that they also have the attitude to roll up their sleeves, to not be afraid to get muddy. I think a lot of the things I've learned have come from getting muddy up to my head and in the first person. So not being afraid of what the other person does, to preach and lead by example, and with that design of making things happen, is fundamental for me. And of course, all the skills linked to people, to team motivation, to team growth is something I love. At least to see and fuel grow in all these people who month after month continue to join the company. We are super, super guardians that this exponential growth in quantity is not denigrated in quality. We are very guardians of the culture, and it is something we do not want to lose. I tell you that if someone comes to an interview analytically super strong, seen with a certain robustness in the position, but find that the cultural part is not present, today it is very, very difficult for them to possibly join Meli's team.
Osi has also been in Mercado Libre almost since its inception. That's why he has the concept of continuous beta built into his DNA. The natural impulse to take risks, knowing that this is the way to really learn.
I think the most important thing that you learn from entrepreneurship is to take risks. And to do things that you're uncomfortable with, that you don't know how they're going to turn out, and to do them progressively and be encouraged. Encourage yourself to make mistakes. Someone said that you have to be able to write a resume. If you had to write a resume with all the things you did wrong, it would be a very interesting resume. If someone never did anything wrong, they didn't really do anything fun, nothing challenging. Because when you want to do things that you don't know how to do, about half the time you get it wrong. One of the most important things I learned with Mercado Libre is to make mistakes, to encourage myself to make mistakes, to do many things that I don't know how they are going to end up, that some go very well, others go wrong. We learn and try to improve them. The only time it is not worth to make a mistake is the last time you try something, and this is also what we call continuous beta. Beta is when something is not finished. It is to think everything, to think your life, to think everything as continuous beta. What I did yesterday was good for yesterday, but how can I do it better today? And continually reinventing ourselves. I think those are the two most important things. Being comfortable of being wrong while trying new things and continuously improving.
How can you improve what was already good? That could also apply to the tech market in Latin America. Mercado Libre has set the course, but the road has just begun. The opportunities are there as well as the challenges. What is needed to accelerate growth? Ozzy has some answers.
When we did the IPO, we were the only technology company on NASDAQ. Today, there are a few. In Argentina alone, there is Globant, there is Despegar. In Brazil, there is PagSeguro, there is Stone. I think there was clearly a before and after Meli, and it is happening. What would have to happen to make it happen faster? I think there are several things that could help. I think an ecosystem is starting to be created. I have friends who are involved in venture capital, which is the industry that invests in entrepreneurs. And what they tell me, those who are in the industry, is that 20 years ago, there were no venture capital funds in Latin America. There were none. If you look at the list of the people we invested with, who invested with us, that I was telling you about a while ago, they are mainly banks. Why? Because there were no venture capital funds in Latin America. The funds operating in Silicon Valley were looking at the United States, but 20 years ago, they did not know where Brazil or Mexico were on the map, let alone Argentina. Today, both US and Silicon Valley funds are looking at Latin America, and there are local funds. That has changed. Then there are entrepreneurs who have more experience. There are more entrepreneurs who came out of working in Mercado Libre, some of our competitors in some other technology company, or who started a business, did more or less well, and are doing the second or third round. So I think there's a lot of this that is one example, and two, having someone to learn from. If you want to learn how to climb a tree, if you see a cat climb a tree, it's much easier to learn. When you saw a lot of people or several people who did it, I think it's easier to do it. And then I think the other thing that we lack, and this is more difficult to change, two things I think we lack. I think that the first thing is culturally, what we were talking about before, to be willing to make mistakes and to fail, and that it is well seen as an entrepreneur. And I believe that Endeavor has contributed a lot in this respect. 20 years ago, if a boy or girl finishing university told his or her parents that he or she was going to become an entrepreneur, it was probably perceived in a very different way than if he or she did it today. I think the perception of what it is to be an entrepreneur has changed versus what it was 20 years ago. And after the base, what we lack is to have more female and male engineers. When we look at the engineering career as a proportion of graduates and compare with India or China, we really could be 5 or 10 times bigger in the region. So I think that I am sure that if we could have more people studying in technology, more people studying mathematics and so on, we could have more technology companies.
Aussie's message is enthusiastic and hopeful. Everything is developed to grow tenfold. Technology as a tool for growth. More engineers, programming the future of the region. And it's not just a fantasy. It is based on everything that happened with Mercado Libre in its history and what is happening now.
I mean, I think we've learned, and we've taught a few things as well. A few years ago, there was an American investment fund. They were buying a company in Poland that does the same thing as Mercado Libre. First, they consulted us before they bought it, and after they bought it, we did best practice sharing sessions where we shared a lot of the things that we believed that would be useful for them in Poland. The other week, we had, for example, a best practice sharing with M-Pesa, the payments company in Africa, Kenya, Tanzania, and many countries in Africa. They shared the things that they do, and we shared the things that we do. In general, we do them with players far enough away where we think we are not going to compete. We talk about India, China, Poland, Africa, and Silicon Valley. I think there is, in general, in technology, in the entrepreneurial world, there is a lot of camaraderie. The Americans call it this, pay it forward. A lot of people, when you were putting your startup together, a lot of people helped you. It's rare a month that I don't talk to any entrepreneur who's wanting to do something and see if I can give them some advice. Obviously, you have to say no to many of them because you don't have enough time, but I think that not only me, but also many of our colleagues do the same thing, talking to entrepreneurs all the time. And within the industry, I think it happens, which is something that luckily, if someone comes to visit you from India, or if you go to India, chances are you're not competing. And generally, you can both learn from each other. It's rare that it's just one of you learning. Maybe the first trip we did to PayPal, we didn't have anything to teach PayPal yet, but now when we interact with PayPal, there are definitely things that each can learn from the other. Paul Romer talks a lot about something called non-rival good. What does he mean? It's an asset that, because you use it, I don't enjoy it less, I enjoy it as much as you do, it is that you can share. The typical example is software or music. If I give you a song and you listen to it and I listen to it because you listen to it, I don't enjoy it any less. And it's the same with ideas. If I have an idea that works and I tell you, hey, you're in Poland, but if you do this here, and the feedback from users is better, you'll do better in Poland, and I won't be less well off because of that. When it's non-rival goods, it's something that you can improve and help someone else without you being worse off, and eventually it comes back.
Opportunities are there for those who go out and look for them, and that requires optimism. That is essentially an entrepreneurial person, an optimist, someone who dares to take risks and do. Ozzy is an optimist who managed to improve the lives of millions of people. And along the way, he learned things that today he shares with new optimists and entrepreneurs.
What I tell myself and what all of us tell ourselves, for one, make sure that we enjoy the whole journey very much, because the only thing that matters is the journey. Then it's over. And two, I think we are all aware that there is a part of merit and a part of luck. So we also have to be very grateful for everything that we got to live. And that's what I think for me. What would I say to anybody else if I look now and I look at what I thought when I was 18 years old or when I was studying engineering it is, the glass is always going to be half full or half empty. You choose how you see it, and you can convince yourself, and there really are opportunities. There are opportunities, and the opportunities, when you take advantage of them, they multiply. When you go and take advantage, you launch a product, and behind that product, we see two opportunities, and we launch that product, and behind it, another opportunity. When you take advantage of opportunities, they multiply. The first thing is the conviction that there are always opportunities. And the second thing, and this is something that is not mine, that Steve Jobs used to say, all the technologies that are launched allow you to do things in a smarter way, in a better way. So when you go and look outside, most of the things you see could be done better because technology has changed. And as this technological change is accelerating, it really makes it possible to reinvent all this. Not because we are smarter than the one who did it, but because we have tools that the one who did it 10 or 20 years ago or 5 years ago basically did not have. So there is a huge opportunity to reinvent the world.
You could say that it is easy to remain optimistic after having achieved the results of Mercado Libre. And you could argue that an opportunity like that is not going to happen again. Ossi, on the other hand, believes that the opportunities are greater today than when Mercado Libre started, and he makes very solid arguments. It is no coincidence that the spirit of the garage is as healthy as it was at the beginning.
The best is yet to come. I think definitely the best is yet to come. What we did so far, it's the tip of the iceberg. One last anecdote. When we did the IPO, and we can find this video somewhere, it would be nice to watch it again. When we did the IPO, we made a video in 2007 or 2008, and what we said was that this is the tip of the iceberg. Because for many people, being the first company in Latin America to do an IPO in technology in 2007, someone could think that they had arrived somewhere. It was the beginning and said it was not the end. We did the IPO 2007, and I think we had $50 million in revenues. Last year, we had billions of dollars of revenues, so clearly it was all to be done. And when we look ahead, the same thing is still happening. What we were saying just now, half of the people are unbanked, half of the transactions are paid with cash. All that is going to change. And it is only the beginning because each of these things that you take advantage of, if you do it right, open up opportunities to do new things that allow more people to have access to services. And if you use technology and the service provider is software, you can make the service much cheaper. Software is really changing the world. And that reminds me of a question you asked me a few minutes ago that I didn't answer, that we were talking about cell phones. I think the other thing we didn't talk about is artificial intelligence, which is the other mega change that's going to happen in the next few years. And I think the same thing is happening to us. We are already doing better. But when we started making cell phones, there was nobody who knew how to program. And really, the number of opportunities around artificial intelligence is huge. Earlier, I talked about fraud prevention. The other big example is access to credit. What artificial intelligence helps you do is find patterns, like patterns, recognize patterns that you couldn't see. The typical example is how computers are learning to see. This is hard to tell in a podcast without images. With images, it's very clear. A few years ago, you had a bunch of little chocolate-stained roundels, and you could tell which one was a puppy and which one was a cookie. But a computer 10 years ago probably didn't know how to do that. And the way to try to program that was to tell it, hey, look, if it's got something that looks like ears over there, it's more likely to be a puppy. If it has ears and two little spots equidistant around a central one, it's probably eyes and a nose, and so on. And those were rules you were trying to put in. What changed with artificial intelligence is that instead of doing that, you give the computer 100,000 pictures, you tell it which of those are puppies and which of those are cookies, and then you give it another 100,000, and the computer was able to learn because you gave it a lot of cases to try and test, and it was able to learn. And the big example of artificial intelligence for me comes from chess. I like chess, maybe some of you like chess. The first time Kasparov lost to a computer back in the 90s, he lost to Deep Blue, which was the computer that had been trained by IBM and had, I don't know, thousands and thousands of recorded games. And based on that, had learned which positions were better than other positions, probability and so on. Much later, a couple of years ago, Google bought this company called DeepMind, if I'm not mistaken, and the engine was called Alpha. And what they made was a computer that knew absolutely nothing. All they did is they taught it the rules of chess and made it play against itself. And a couple of hours later, that computer was beating the best chess computer in the world. And the scary thing is that it died. The world computer chess champion is this Google computer that all it did was play against itself with the rules. So using that, because it is a better Mercado Pago, because it allows you to look for patterns among people who operate in the system and give credit to people who, maybe with traditional algorithms, you would not have given credit because you would not have realized that they were capable of paying you.
In this journey, inside one of the most important companies in the world, I am discovering why they succeed, what makes them great, and what can we learn, replicate, and adapt from their experiences. It is always healthy to find people who believe in the attitude of surpassing themselves, of excelling, like Ossi and Paula, who knew how to build the monster that Mercado Pago is today. It is essential to highlight them because they show us that dreams can shape the world and that it is possible to climb any summit. I am Federico Eisner. This is Climbers and Scalers.